For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
This morning, let's concentrate and set our hearts on what we will hear from the Word of God. Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you. We thank you for your Word. We thank you for your Spirit. And we thank you, Lord, that you are the one. You are the one that, as we bow our knee to you, you are the one that opens the doors, opens the way. And Father, we ask that you continue with us and show us your ways and open that way to us to be able to go forward, not backwards, and to go through doors of opportunity, to be people that are doing those good works that you want. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Well, we're looking at the danger of not hearing God, part two, or of ignoring God's words. This is a very important area. We looked last time in Matthew 15 and we found that the Pharisees had a particular tradition that was interfering with God's words. And that tradition, as we know, the word tradition is used in the scripture in both a negative and a positive way. And we can be people that believe the proper traditions and do what God wants, because the proper traditions will be rooted and grounded in God's words. Or we can be people that have the traditions of men that have been invented to circumvent or go around God's words. And that's what was happening with the Pharisees. But there's one particular verse I want to bring out from Matthew 15. Let's go back to that. Matthew 15, and we'll read the first few verses here in Matthew 15, which really illustrates what can happen in a person's heart and thereby will cause great danger in their life, spiritual danger in their life. So in Matthew 15, we'll start from verse 1 first of all. Matthew 15, verse 1. And it says, "Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, 'Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread.' But he answered and said unto them, 'Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition?'" So there's the real problem, isn't it? Their tradition was transgressing or contradicting the commandment of God, the word of God. Verse 4, "For God commanded, saying, Honour thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say," notice, "but ye say." So there's something that God says, God has commanded, God has said, and it says in verse 5, "But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honoureth not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition." Verse 7, "Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoureth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." So we can see where the problem is, isn't it? It's in the heart. In the heart. Their heart is far from me. "But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Now you might say, well, Yes, I know about those old traditions in the old type of churches, but I tell you what, there are traditions in some of the newest, modernist type of churches that just as much contradict the commandment of God. And we're not going to go into detail about that, but it really comes down to what is the word that we're going to glorify and honour. The word that we're going to glorify and honour has to be the word of God, not the words of men. And otherwise, you'll find that the very thing in verse 9, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Now we'll just skip down to verse 12, and I think this is something that's really, really important for us to grab hold of. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? Now, this is an important thing. The word offended or offense. And I don't know how many times I have spoken the word to people various times over the last 20 years. Longer if you go back into my history as a minister, but certainly in the last 20 years ministering as a pastor, many times I've spoken the word of God and there's been offence, not acceptance of that word. And sometimes I've scratched my head and I thought, well, the word is so clear here. I remember saying to a particular woman, I said, this is what the word says. And guess what the very first words that came out of her mouth was? Yes, but. Yes, but. And I thought, now this is interesting. It was a yes, but. And then after that was this whole lot of words that came out of her mouth which were contradictory to the very verse I was quoting to her. And I thought, well, now this is very interesting because the word is clear. It's clear. And it's not the word's problem, but there's something that's the problem in their heart. And that's what Jesus pinpointed there. He said that their heart was far from God, or their heart was certainly not acknowledging God in that area. And certainly we see here that offence had come as a result of the saying of Jesus, because it says here in verse 12, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? So as soon as the word that Jesus was speaking, the very word of God, came to them, there was this offence that also came. So the great danger of this offence coming is that there's a barrier to receiving what God says. A barrier to receiving what God says. So I want to talk a little bit about this area of offence. Let's have a look at Psalm 119, verse 165. Now this shows the state that we should be in with respect to our own hearts. In Psalm 119, verse 165. And if you find that when the word of God comes to you and you start to get offended, you need to say, hey, wait a minute, something's not right here. And pull yourself up, and you may even have to repent. Okay? Because offense and the word of God don't go together. All right? Verse 165 says, in Psalm 119, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Now, what's the attitude of the psalmist here to the law of God, the word of God? What's the attitude? That he loves it. Now, this is really, really important. This is the good type of love. What's one of the bad types of love? Loving evil, loving money. That's not good. But this is the good types of love, and you should say, I love God, I love his word, I love his law. And what's one of the consequences of that? Great peace have they which love thy law. And then there's a colon after that, and nothing shall offend them. When you love God's word, really love it, when you really love God's word, when the word of God comes to you and it's in a corrective manner, and you know, we're looking at the scenario here where it's a true word and spoken by someone who is led by the Spirit of God. Okay? When the Word of God comes to you and you know it's from God, offense is not the right way of responding to that. So you saw the Pharisees, they heard the word coming from Jesus, they heard that saying, and offense then came. And that blocked them from receiving what Jesus was saying to them. Can you see that? It's the same type of thing here. If there is a lack of love for the Word of God, and the Word of God has to be seen in its right way, if there's a lack of love for the Word of God, offense can come. And that offense can block the things of God in people's lives. This is a great, great danger, because you start ignoring God's words and you get offended at what God is saying. You know, it might parade itself as you're offended at the way that person said it. You know, I used to think, well, perhaps it's the way I said it, because I remember saying to someone, hey, look, you shouldn't have on your computer, because, you know, visited there and there was this great big picture of a wizard. I said, well, you know, Christians and wizards don't go together. And I think I quoted a scripture related to that, something like the sin of witchcraft. You know, offence came. So I was thinking, perhaps was it me that you know, I didn't phrase it delicately enough or something like that. But you know, you look back into the scriptures, you can see Jesus said some very hard things. You can see the prophets said very hard things. And the Word of God will come to people, but it's not just, Paul himself said he was rude of speech. It's not the great eloquence of speech. It's how am I going to approach the Word of God. As it says there, nothing shall offend them. If you have love for the Word of God, you're not going to be offended. You're not going to get offended at that. But it's the way you see it. The way you see it. If you look at a few more verses in Psalm 119, just to see the value placed on the Word of God. Just go back to verse 72. Verse 72. What was the value placed on the Word of God? So what should be the value placed on the Word of God in our life? Verse 72 says, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. So it's incomparable, really, to that physical riches. And as it says, the law of thy mouth is better unto me. Better unto me. Well, not many people are in that category of being able to say the law of God's mouth, his word, is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. There's a lot of the love of money, the love of material things, which would override the love of God's word, particularly in our society. Also have a look at verse 127. And we're looking at what's the value we place on the Word of God. How should it be looked at in our life? Verse 127 says, therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. In other words, above the very best. So can we say that? And it might not be gold, it might be above anything else. All right? There's all types of things that can get in the way. So if we need to have that revelation. People need to have that revelation of, I need to put the Word of God in the right place in my life, so that when the Word does come to me, I'm not going to have that offence. I'm going to have a response to it of receiving it. Okay, also have a look at verse 162. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. So verse 162, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Do we rejoice at God's word? Do we rejoice at God's word? The word of God, wonderful to us, something we love, something we esteem greatly. And as verse 165 says, and I'll read it out again, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Nothing shall offend them. You know, Jesus in his ministry had this very same problem. And you might say, well, you know, well, let's have a look at what happened here. Look in John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Verses 59 to 63. John 6, 59 to 63. So Jesus had just preached a particular doctrine about, we'll look at verse 53. We'll read verse 53 onwards here, just so that we see the doctrine that Jesus preached and what happened from that. So multitudes were following Jesus up to this time, huge crowds and numbers, and then Jesus said these words, verse 53, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. Now, us as Christians understand what that means, obviously partaking of the very life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 57 says, as the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things spake he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, they'd heard this doctrine, this word, said, this is an hard saying, who can hear it? Who can hear it? Verse 61. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? Now it's interesting that he uses the word offend, isn't it? Because as we said, if you truly believe the word of God to be of great value, now we could see here that, you know, they had seen Jesus in action. They'd seen the miracles, seen the healings and so on. The Bible says that they came to hear his words. But here, a particular hard word comes to them, and Jesus pinpointed what it was. Doth this offend you? Verse 62, what and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So we see here that offence had come. Offence had come. And verse 66 says, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Verse 67, then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. So they recognized the words of eternal life. But what a sad verse, verse 66 is. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Do you think that type of thing has happened historically, and even at times in this church? Yes, because people have not esteemed the word of God as they should have. And this is very, very important for us to take hold of, that if we don't glorify the word of God, if we don't put it in its right place and esteem it and rejoice at the word as finding great spoil, if we don't do that, then we're going to have these problems that can come up in our hearts. But if we do that, then we're able to insulate ourselves from these type of problems. If you look at Galatians 5, look at verses 7 and 8. Now, clearly, this is one of the devices of the devil to get people so that they're not responding to the word of God and to hinder them. You know, there's many things that the devil is doing, but the primary target is the heart of man. So he wants to get rocks and hard places into people so that they're shallow in their response. He wants to get it so that when, you know, they're so shallow that when something comes that puts a bit of pressure onto them, they get offended and they walk away. He's the great hinderer. We must understand that we should not be ignorant of his devices, of his ways. We shouldn't be ignorant of it. We have to know that he is targeting the fiery darts. He's targeting the heart of man, because if the word of God gets into the good ground of a man, then it can produce great fruit. And that's the thing he does not want. He does not want that at all. Galatians 5, verses 7 and 8. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. So here we see that the Galatians were running well. They were doing well for a time. They seemed to be doing all the right things. But then, who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? So where's the problem here? What's the real crux of the matter? It's the truth and how they responded to the truth, isn't it? if the truth is not loved so much that I will obey it even if something comes along and says not to, or go and do this in contradiction to the word of God, if that truth is not upheld to the extent that I will do the word of God even if it's hard for me to do so. And of course, all the great martyrs of the past, you can see that they loved not their lives unto the death, you know. And if we can't even endure a little bit of hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ, there's something wrong. And we need to change that, need to get that right. But you can run well. You know, we can all run well when it's nice and sunny. But when, you know, there's storms and so on, things that might be put in the way of the path, well, you've got to deal with those so that the truth is what's going to is what's going to be upheld. As he says there, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. In other words, it's come from another source. And we need to acknowledge that there are other sources out there that are trying to feed the wrong things into our lives. And as I said before, we can become insulated to that. We can become insulated to that by understanding the value of the Word of God, where the power of God is. God's Word is with power. It's quick and powerful. And esteeming it in the right way. I rejoice at God's Word as finding great spoil. I love it more than thousands of gold and silver, the fine gold. So we esteem it in the right way. And so we're not like those that, yes, whilst everything's going fine, we're running well, but then a little bit of persecution or opposition or pressure comes and we let go of the word and we disobey it. That's not what God wants for his people. He's wanting his people to grow in strength, to be able to endure, to be able to stand, and having done all, to stand in the evil day. Okay, so there is opposition because we're on a cursed planet. We're on a planet where the god of this world, little g, god of this world is Satan, and he has control over many people's lives. He shouldn't have control over our lives because we have the Lord Jesus Christ as our master, as our king, as our Lord. If you look at Mark 4, verses 16 and 17, we see how offence can come in Mark 4, 16 and 17. We saw the example of the Galatians. They were running well for a while. You know, there didn't seem to be anything that was a problem for a while, and something came up and hindered them so that they weren't obeying the truth. And that didn't come from God. We see the same type of thing in Mark 4, verses 16 and 17. Mark 4, 16 and 17. And it says, and these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. Okay, so initially, it's like that running well initially. Initially, they're receiving the word with gladness. Oh, this is good. This is wonderful. This is great. Gladness, receive it. However, as we know, life can have its challenges. It can have, and there's storms and so on, and troubles can come, etc. Notice what it says. Immediately receive it with gladness, verse 17, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Can you see that offence can be a real problem? And it can interfere with the operation of a person's operation of the word in a person's life. So let's not be that type of person. Let's not be a shallow type of person where there can't be any root. Okay? We should be building in our lives a deepness. A deepness should be built in our lives so that God can get that foundation deep into us. And we have that root. Okay? As it says there, no root in themselves. The word of God couldn't get a ground into them. There was a shallowness there. And so when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they're offended. Well, see, what does that tell us? What was the principle that we read before? Great peace have they which love thy law, and certain things shall offend them? Or, no, it's nothing shall offend them. Nothing shall offend them. Nothing shall offend them. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. All right? So, God is not saying, oh, you know, affliction and persecution arises for the word's sake, and, you know, I understand that you just couldn't help it. No, he's saying you have to be prepared for this type of thing. You have to get that deepness within you so that if affliction and persecution does arise, and it will, okay, as many as live godly shall suffer persecution, the Bible says. So it will come, but you've got to be prepared for it. You've got to be able to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We're not living on a perfect planet at the moment. We're not in heaven yet. We're not living on a perfect planet. We're living on a cursed planet where the enemy is running around seeking whom he may devour. And he's certainly able to devour many people at the moment and make their lives of none effect and destroy them and so on. But you know, God is giving these warnings to his people so that his people have respect to his word. They're not laying it aside, because there's great danger in laying it aside or ignoring it or getting offended by it. There's great danger in that. Because when the word, because God's protection is around those who are heeding his word. Okay? But if you allow the things of the world to come in or to speak to you, you need to cast those type of imaginations down and build within yourself a bit of strength. You know, we should be able to pray and study the word and fellowship and so on. But there's many that, my goodness, as soon as a word comes to them is a little bit hard, they get offended. I believe that that's going to all change in the future. The church of the future has got to be one that's washed by the water of the word of God. It's got to be a strong church that is able to stand, and having done all to stand, praise the Lord. Let's have a look at just a few more scriptures. Ezekiel 33, we've gone through this one before, we'll have a look at it again. Ezekiel 33, this is 30 to 32. Now, Only last year I quoted this to a man who had been out of fellowship for some time, and I said to him up front, I said, look, you know, the word of God's very clear that if you're claiming to be a Christian, you should be in fellowship in the body of Christ. And I quoted this is one of the first scriptures I quoted to him. And the reason I quoted it to him was because it's not because he said he'd contacted me because he enjoyed listening to the sermons that he heard on the website and so on. And I said, yep, that's great. That's excellent. But it's not just saying, oh yeah, I enjoy listening to the sermons on the website and, you know, it makes me feel as though I want to do a bit more study of the Word of God. What's the crux of the matter? You hear it, what do? You ignore it or you do it? You do it, don't you? That's the crux of the matter. Ezekiel 33, start from verse 30. It says, also thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. There's a bit of a contradiction in these people, isn't there? They're speaking against the prophet, and yet they're saying, oh, I want to come and hear the word. Something's happening here that's contradictory. Verse 31, and they come unto thee, as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will, it's an act of the will, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. So where's the problem? Once again, in the heart, isn't it? The heart determines what people do. If there's hardness in the heart, if there's, as it says there, covetousness in the heart, loving things other than the Word of God and God Himself, you can say all you like. You can say, oh, I feel as though the Lord is leading me here. Or I feel as though, you know, your preaching is wonderful. You can say all you like, but, as it says there, they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. Verse 32, and lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. And when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come, then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. Because there is judgment upon that type of behaviour. There is judgment upon that type of behaviour. You know, a person can sit and hear the words and say, well, that's great. But if they choose to ignore, if they choose for whatever reason, it might be offence or whatever, and they choose to ignore it and then go their merry way, not God's merry way, but they go their merry way in the wrong type of way, they will inevitably take themselves out of God's protection, and a judgment comes upon them. Now, this is of such importance that we cannot overemphasize it. The way you view the Word of God in your life determines the way your life is going to be. And we'll finish off with Hosea chapter 8. Hosea 8, and we'll look at the verses 1 to 4 of Hosea 8. So it's Hosea, Joel, Amos. So it's Hosea chapter 8, And we'll start from verse 1. Now, this is talking about a particular judgment that came against the house of the Lord, and it goes into the reason why the judgment came against the house of the Lord. And this is very, very important for us to see. And it's a warning for us as well. It's a warning for the modern church, because this type of thing, this ignoring God's word and putting things in its place and not esteeming the word of God and so on, putting feelings and entertainment in the place of the word of God, etc., it's very, very dangerous. Okay, so in verse 1 of Hosea 8, he says, "Set the trumpet to thy mouth." Now that's telling us that there's an announcement. And if you look in Revelation, those trumpet announcements, there was invasion or announcement. And notice what he says here, "Set the trumpet to thy mouth. He shall come as an eagle against the house of the Lord." Obviously something's coming against the house of the Lord. It's an announcement. "Because they have transgressed my covenant and trespassed against my law." So did they give entry for this to be able to come against them? Yes, they did. They transgressed God's covenant and they trespassed against his law, against his word. Verse 2, "Israel shall cry unto me, my God, we know thee." Okay, so there will be people who say, "Look, we know, we're Christians, we know you. Yeah, you might be a Christian in word only, but not when the word of God comes, will you obey it," and so on. Verse 3, "Israel hath cast off the thing that is good, the enemy shall pursue him." What a tragedy. You cast off the thing that is good and replace it with something that's not good. Verse 4, "They have set up kings, but not by me. They have made princes, and I knew it not. Of their silver and their gold have they made them idols, that they may be cut off." So people can set up things in their life, and it might even look for a time as though they're prospering, but it's in the things which are not of God. As we say there, saw there, they'd set up kings and princes and silver and gold and so on, but they'd cast off the thing that is good, namely the covenant of God and the law of God, the word of God. They cast that off. So there is an enormous danger. We've been talking about that today, the danger of neglecting the word of God, of not hearing God, putting other things in place of God's word. The really important thing is to esteem the word of God and top priority, top level, to love it. And that's showing your love to God. Because as you know, love is all about demonstration. Love is not about, "Oh yes, I've heard that, heard what you're saying, I agree with it." No, that's called lip service. We must be very careful, we're not people like that. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you. We thank you, Lord, for the work you're doing in our lives. And as the word of God comes to us, I pray that we not be people that respond in ways that are inappropriate or get offended, but that, Lord, we be responsive to your word. I pray for a softness of heart in this congregation, and that people will see us as great representatives of you, Lord. as people that have put the Word of God as high in our life, above anything else. Lord, work on us each individually. Show us your ways. Help us in our hearing and seeing spiritually. And I pray, Lord, that as each of us respond to you, that you continue that work in our lives, that work of holiness in our lives, sanctification, changing us to be more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ, conforming us to his image, so that we're not conformed to the world or its ways. So we ask for your help, Lord. We know that you're our helper. We ask that you continue with us. And even if we have failed in the past, that we be lifted up in the name of Jesus and continue on in you. And so that we don't continue to fail or fall, but that we go forward and run the race that's pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen.